Welcome to Season 3 of Love in Context. This season, we're exploring the life of Jesus, step by step, and uncovering what his story teaches us about loving God and others. Here on Love in Context, we're all about having real conversations about how to live out that love in practical, everyday ways, and understanding the Bible in its full context. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive into Season 3 of Love and Context. Welcome back to the Love in Context podcast. The podcast. The podcast.
The jingle is still a work in progress, as you guys can tell.
Yeah,
we'll let you know when we get that patented, recorded, and copyrighted.
What's the name of the guy who did all the hip hop? Oh, Dre. I sent it in to Dre just to see what he'll say.
Yeah.
You know, see if he can jazz it up a little for me.
For some reason, he hasn't gotten back to you.
He hasn't gotten back to me. Welcome to Love in Context podcast with Ben and Spencer. I am Ben, and this is Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're continuing Life of Jesus. And
Let's go. It's
good to see you this week.
Mm-hmm.
School is back in the swing
of
things.
Yeah.
And we were able to, honestly, though, even this week is going to be busy for you because you're doing this. We're recording a couple, and then you're going to be out
next week
doing visiting some of your donors and stuff for Young Life, right?
Yep.
Speaking of which, if you're a listener and you'd like to be a donor for Young Life, if you go to Young Life Ketchikan, you can donate to Spencer directly.
Yeah.
He won't toot his own horn, but toot toot, here we go.
Yep, I won't.
So we're gonna be in Matthew 13 today. We're gonna be talking about a couple parables. And so I wanted to take a step back really quick before we get into parables and remind people what they are. Because they're not just random stories that people are telling.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually a purpose for them. There are some common occurrences in parables, especially during the time of Jesus and the other rabbinic voices around that time. They would do a lot of times they dealt with everyday realism. In other words, mm-hmm. things that you ran into on regular places. We're going to talk about the soil today. So it's likely Jesus is walking through the field.
Yeah.
And he says, look at the farmer, that guy.
Over there,
you know, it'd be like if you were in Seattle and you're like, look at the fish market guy, right? That's tossing the fish across the Seattle market, right? There's a thing in Hebrew called the marshal. It's where you take things side by side and they're for comparative uses. So Jesus is going to say many times, the kingdom of God is like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's taking kingdom of God and this thing side by side and describing some things on this side that are going to then translate over.
Yeah.
These are common features here. They're also not super long.
Mm-hmm.
Like most parables, like even the longest one, I think is probably the parable of the two sons.
Yeah.
Right. And like that one is
still not super long.
Yeah. It's not super long. No. It's still like you're able to say it in like probably 2.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not meant to be like these long, exhaustive studies. They're packed with a ton of meaning for you to go and unpack yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But inside of all of them, there's like this moral provocation. Like life is something else than what you're doing.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. And if you're a Jewish person hearing these parables, you'll understand that there's layers to them. And there's like a surface depth and it goes a little deeper and then a little deeper.
Yeah.
To steal from Shrek, it's like an onion.
It's like an onion.
Right?
Yeah. So the four levels of onions, of parables, because that's apparently what we're going with. There is a thing called a pashat. That's your plain generic. You read it one time and you're like, hey, this means this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not super difficult to understand. For example, Good Samaritan. When people are bleeding on the side of the road, you should pick them up, bandage them up, and take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Plain generic meaning. Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it means to have mercy. A lot of times there's a thing we call it a remez, and we do this a lot of times when we're talking in the New Testament. It's a reference back to the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's meant to, it takes the context of what they're, of whatever that context is in the Old Testament, it pulls it forward into the New Testament.
Yeah.
This happens very frequently in Jesus' teaching. Well, we will continue to point that out. The drash is something that's more of like a searching application. And this is why I think, a lot of rabbis tell parables. It's one thing to tell somebody something. Like you're working at school. It's one thing to teach somebody something. You tell them a story, right? You say 2 + 2 = 4.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, there, if you give them a sheet of mathematics to actually go and do themselves, it's no longer learning mathematics. It's actually allowing mathematics. You're now experiencing mathematics. You're getting into it. You're digging into it and actually exploring it. You're not just being told.
Yeah.
You're searching for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what a good teacher will do is they'll give you tools to go and search something yourself.
Uh-huh.
So that in the discovery, you actually learn more about the thing, right? I think a lot of times in English where, it's always funny though, because people will be like, well, I think when he used the color blue, he was symbolizing blah, 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 blah. He's like, actually, I just like blue.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of times there's like symbolism in a book and you say, so there's symbolism going on in chapter 9. What do you think it is?
Mm-hmm.
And like, so then students, they go read chapter 9 and they start, okay, maybe this is a symbol, maybe this is getting, mm-hmm. and what does that do? It helps them actually understand and engage in the story in a deeper, more real way. That's mm-hmm. what the drash is. That's like this third yeah. level of, mm-hmm. of like, hey, is there more at play here than just backwards referencing?
Yep.
Right? Is it play into something going on socioeconomically around me? Mm-hmm. Does that play into the way that I'm supposed to engage with other people? Mm-hmm. And then the last one is what we call sod, and it's the things that are revealed by God alone.
Yeah.
In other words, you can do all the things that you think you can do, and you're not going to figure it out. The best example of this in the scriptures is Jesus is talking to them. He says, hey, who do you think I am? Mm-hmm. And Peter goes, well, duh, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for this wasn't revealed to you by any but your Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. Of course, right after that...
Get behind me, Satan.
Get behind me, Satan. So he says, good, you heard directly from God. Also, stop being Satan.
Uh-huh.
So that's generally how parables work. I do think that there's a ton of really good resources. Clyde Snodgrass has an introduction to understanding the parables. It's a really academic piece. And you better be good at academics if your name is Clyde Snodgrass, because that's quite the name. Mm-hmm. Brad Young is a university professor who also has some really interesting insights. Brad Young is really good if you're trying to understand parables in antiquity and also Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. So they have some good works on the parables. Do you have anything you like from the parables?
Similarly, blah, blah,
blah. That word is very difficult, mm-hmm. by the way. Similarly.
Yeah, let's try that again. So just like when Jesus was talking in the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. a lot of times in the parables that he's talking, wow, I am tired. Let's try that again.
It's all almost like you've been with kids all day.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. So just as...
Mr. Spencer!
Yeah, pretty much, right? Pretty much. Or the like... Hey, don't hit that kid with a rock. Why? Really? Why?
Why? Okay.
Yeah. Just like Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is counteracting two ideas, mm-hmm. the idea of Roman culture mm-hmm. Seeping into the Jewish way of life, and then also this false Jewish way of life.
Yeah.
That. So he does that with the parables, too. Yeah. You're actually going to see that with the first one we're going to talk about.
Right. So with that being said, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read this here, and then why don't you'll open up just talking about it.
Yeah,
so that day being the day after Jesus had told his mother and brothers that everybody was his mother and brother and sister, yep. and that he's there for everybody. So that day, Jesus went out from the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. That's, by the way, what a lot of introverts mm-hmm. will do is more people come and they get away from him. That's not what he's doing. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Mm-hmm. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to ask why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will be given in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. Okay, and then I'm going to... one more spot. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Mm-hmm. But blessed be your eyes because they see, and because your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not see it. Okay, and then he's going to give an interpretation mm-hmm. of what's going on inside of that.
So one thing you got to note right away is, we probably should have said this earlier, but Jesus often teaches in parables when he's addressing large crowds or religious leaders.
Yeah.
And if you think about that, those are two very different groups.
Very different groups.
You have a group that large crowds who are wanting to hear his teaching.
Right.
And you have religious leaders on the other hand, well, more often than not, are like, we want to trap Jesus in his thinking. Yeah. Right. And they think they can do that.
Or we want to pin you down to be something we want you to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Right. And so, and have you ever like, it, and oftentimes we think of this like, oh, this is a really profound idea. And I was like, well, yes and no, because this happens cross-culturally too, right? We hear that in sermons in the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. Where people will give a story that relates in their life, then tie it into scripture, right?
Yeah.
Right? We do that. And so, because oftentimes when you give a story about, in this case, a farmer, you're tying it into a very practical thing. And one thing to note here on the farmer side of things is, culturally speaking right now, the farmers are being taxed out the wazoo, right? So they are
Estimates are in the 80% to 85%.
Yeah, yeah. Depending what scholar you look at, there's going to be different, but there'll be different interpretations on that. You might read something that's like, oh, they said 65%. You might read somebody else who says 90. Yeah. Like,
yeah, there's going to be a variance depending on the region, because Israel's big too.
Yeah. And so farmers are dwindling. So you have this text where you have the hurt of the farmers outlined in that too, like of them sowing seeds, things not growing, getting choked out by thorns, falling on the footpaths. And we read that and be like, okay, is this farmer just really bad at his job? Mm-hmm. Right? Because he should know what good soil is, right? Yeah. The reality is, farmers were probably trying to do that to make as much money as they can, hoping that crops would spring up as in every inch of ground that they could, so they could still make some money, still make a living, right? And so that's something to note here in this passage as well.
So there is a, I'm going to just clue you guys in here just for anybody who wants to make the connection. There is a remez. This is the only passage where they tell the story where he's going to use the number 100.
Uh-huh.
There is a reference to the Old Testament by the guy by the name of Isaac.
Yep.
Who is a farmer in a time of famine. Mm-hmm. And he sows and he reaps 100 times what he sows. Mm-hmm. There is a connection there. Go and find it. It has to do with generosity. It has to do with heart.
Yep.
And what is he specifically talking about? People who have eyes but can't see. Ears but they can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's some connections going on there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. So, and you look at this and then you get to the point where the disciples are like, why do you teach in parables?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're a disciple of somebody, they're not used to hearing this when Jesus is teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
They're used to hearing a little bit more of a direct teaching from Jesus. Okay? All right? And the reality is just sometimes stories connect differently, right? And sometimes how you hear a story connects differently. Just to give you an example in our lives, Ben likes to read books.
I do.
Okay? I've argued with Ben that it's not a good book if they're not turning it into a TV show.
I was checking to see. I thought I had my shirt on that said book nerd.
Yeah.
It's not. It's something. Yeah. It's a Serenity from Firefly.
Oh, that's equally as good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incidentally, your wife enjoys the show Firefly. I've read the books, Firefly, that continue the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you said, well, the show was good.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to read the books.
Yeah. Right. And so Ben will be like, yeah, have you heard about this series? And I'm like, are they going to turn it into a TV show?
Yeah.
And he'll be like, what? I was like, well, that's a sign that's a good book series.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, I don't think so. I was like, well, it's probably not a good book series then. And that's the joke, a little bit of the joke we have, right? So, but like,
you can send your hate mail to Love and Context, Kara Spencer McDowell.
Absolutely can. I will 100% not read it.
I'm just going to go and point out here what the listeners don't know is that you actually don't know how to read. Mm-hmm. No, that's actually.
It's not like I teach kids how to read every day.
You just memorized a lot of words.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think reading is?
Uh-huh. So stories hit a little differently, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're not familiar with the gospel that Jesus is preaching, right? Having a relatable story about something in your world, in your sphere, is going to bring it home for you.
Well, and I think there's also this capacity is like, Jesus is capable of writing because later in scripture, he writes down on the ground. But like most people can't write at this point. They might be able to read, but they can't write. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, and their memory is very different than ours. Like they remember everything. Like now that we have phones, like I don't remember anybody's phone number. I remember my old phone number for my house, but I don't remember anybody else's.
Yeah.
But I used to be able to just rattle off and call people because I had to.
Yeah.
Right. Now I don't do that, but and so we write things down, we record things, we make videos, photos, all those different things. They didn't have that. Mm-hmm. So they memorized scripture, they memorized stories, and they memorized these things. So now Jesus is giving them this story, this quick 30, 45 second story that they go walk around later, and they're like, there's a farmer who spreads seed. You know, and you walk with it, and you tell it to yourself over and over again. And if you are somebody who can't read and can't write, it's also something you can take with you as you're going around, too.
It plays into the tradition of the oral stories, right? Because that's how Old Testament stories got passed along, right?
Exactly. Well, it's interesting because, you know, like, essentially what Jesus is saying is, he's like, well, why do you talk to them in parables? So that they're a little confused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they have to dig.
Uh-huh.
And maybe in that digging, they're going to see.
Yeah.
Like that's the hope is I'm trying to give them, and he's going to talk about this a little bit later and we'll get to this. It's actually later in the verses. It's after the parable of the weeds, but I'll get down a second. So the flip side of this is at the end, he says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Well, which by the way, he does not always give interpretations to his parables. This is the one we actually know what it means.
Yeah.
This is the seed, let's see here. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good ground refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. By the way, as I'm reading through those in those descriptions, rather than just thinking about types of people, I was actually thinking about Jewish responses to the end of the Old Testament.
Yep.
And you have this choked up by the world. Sounds a lot like Herodians, right?
Yep.
Like they want to be Jewish. They also want to have all the Roman perks, right? You have the people who are just, to your point, talking about taxation and like there's this rocky ground and they have short soil and like when trouble is there, like they can't do it because they're so focused on their trouble, right? What kind of soil are you going to be?
Yeah.
Right? It's good. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the common interpretations on these stories is like, what type of soil are you going to be? Mm-hmm. And also is when you are spreading the gospel, your job is to spread it everywhere.
Right.
And there's going to be people who just flat out reject it, right? There's going to be people where they get excited, but then within a year or two, they're burnt out and they walk away. There's going to be people where it multiplies 100 times in their lives. And so but what is your role in spreading the gospel?
Yeah.
It's to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
Right.
Your job internally is what kind of soil am I going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Your job externally is I spread the gospel.
Yeah.
To quote a later parable, you go catch fish.
Uh-huh.
The angels will sort them out.
Uh-huh.
You go sow wheat. The angels will sort out the tares.
Yeah.
Right? Your job isn't to decide who's in and who's out. Your job is to go spread.
Yep.
Spread the gospel. Spread the word of God. Which I'm going to jump over this parable of the weeds, not because it's not important. I think it's great. In fact, actually, it's the next one coming up.
You guys should go read it.
Yeah, you should go read it. Mm-hmm. But I want to jump because I think this is kind of what we're talking about with the power of parables. Yeah. Jumping into verse 31, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his fields. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things in the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So it was fulfilled. It was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things since the creation of the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mustard seed. Tiny seed.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody's like, well, there's smaller seeds. Okay. But in their time, did they know there were smaller seeds? Right? It's the smallest seed that they can find. It's super tiny. And essentially the mustard plant is a kind of a noxious weed.
Yeah.
Which is a really weird thing for Jesus to be like, there was a farmer who took mustard seed and he planted it all throughout his fields. Like, why would you do that? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? And once it took root, you couldn't stop it. Mm-hmm. But that's what the kingdom of God is like.
Yeah.
And you're like a noxious weed that you can't eliminate. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. once it takes root, it's going to get everywhere. Mm-hmm. You can't stop it.
Yeah. And mustard trees mm-hmm. come from mustard seeds as well. And they provide more than just mustard, mm-hmm. right? These trees were actually known for getting 20 to 30 feet tall, and their branches would actually branch out and make a big canopy. Mm-hmm. So they were known for providing shade mm-hmm. for travelers in this hot desert climate.
Yeah.
And so it was a common wood that was used in building mm-hmm. Materials because it was a good sized tree. And we were talking a culture where wood like cedar and mustard and yeah. stuff like that is valuable. You're a culture that primarily builds with stone.
Yeah. It's not that they don't have trees, but they don't yeah. have trees like we do in the Northwest.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like we have lots of trees and yeah, we have
they
massive trees.
They don't have the 300 foot tall yeah. spruce trees type stuff.
Or even think like you think California, like the redwood forest, like they don't have trees like that.
No.
Right.
No.
And so like trees are a healthy commodity. So like you want to be able to grow these trees.
Yeah. And so this is a, like, if you were someone who was in the business of growing and cutting down mustard trees and harvesting the mustard, selling the wood, like mm-hmm. you're somebody who is actually of probably higher standard, higher wealth, mm-hmm. Most likely. And so you get to the point where it's like this little act of faith, mm-hmm. like this little bit of faith can blossom into something that provides so much for the world around you.
When it takes root, you can't stop it.
Yeah.
Right. When it takes root mm-hmm. in the heart, you can't stop it. And the next story he says is like a woman who grabbed about 60 pounds of flour. Well, that's a reference back to three Cs. Mm-hmm. If you're like, I've heard three Cs before. Yeah. It's in the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
Sarai, mm-hmm. when they have the three visitors, he tells them to go bake some bread and she takes 60 pounds of flour and bakes it into bread. Mm-hmm. Right. And what is that whole story about? Hospitality.
Yeah.
Right. He's welcoming the people and then he's interceding on behalf of, it's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
But it's about hospitality. Well, what's been going on so far? So we've connected it to Isaac and sowing into a famine.
Yeah.
And producing food that's going to feed an entire area.
Yeah.
We have a mustard seed that's going to grow into a great tree. Once it takes root, it's not going to be able to stop. And it's going to provide shelter for the people around them.
Yeah.
And then you have this flour, this dough, 60 pounds. I don't know if you guys made 60 pounds of bread. It's a lot of bread. Mm-hmm. Especially the way they bake it.
Yeah.
That is about hospitality and the story of patriarchal hospitality. So what is Jesus doing in all of these? The kingdom of heaven is founded on generosity and reaching out and taking care of people and peace and growing in hospitality and putting something different on display for the world. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing that looks at a place that's in famine and says, I'm going to plant some food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's the type of thing that says, hey, I'm going to take this little thing mm-hmm. and it's going to blossom into something magnificent for the kingdom. Right.
Now, last week, Matthew Nunley and I were talking about prayer and we were talking about creating space to actually pray and talk to God. Mm-hmm. And one of the most common things, and maybe you run into this with ministry with kids as mm-hmm. well, is probably. That they're like, oh, I just can't do enough. You know, I can't find that time in my schedule. And like I talked about, as I said, you were driving 5 minutes, just talk to God. Mm-hmm. You wake up five minutes early and you spend a few minutes. I was like, you create a space and you allow God to fill it. And you're like, man, that's not significant. Well, guess what? Mustard seed. Mm-hmm. You might be surprised how big that tree gets.
Mm-hmm. Oftentimes what we do, and I've encountered this in church so many times, where we will look at the pastor of a church. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, if you're like, for those who don't really know, if you are a pastor of a church, like full time.
If they don't know you're a pastor of a church.
No. Sorry. If someone is a pastor of a church, they often have more time to dedicate towards mm-hmm. prayer, more time to dedicate mm-hmm. to reading scripture, more time to dedicate to the things that we're called to, mm-hmm. right? Because that is their vocation, mm-hmm. legit their vocation. And so oftentimes what we do is we compare ourselves to that. We're like, man, I hear about my pastor saying he prays for an hour every morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Oftentimes he can do that between 9 and 10 a.m. when yep. he's at the church.
Yeah.
Right. Or I hear that he had a whole day to just prepare for his sermon, mm-hmm. right? All right. You have to understand they're living in a different space than people who have a 9-to-5 job, mm-hmm. right? Or people who have a 9-to-5 job who are married with kids, mm-hmm. right? You might be like, man, this 5 minutes is all I got. The Lord can work with that 5 minutes.
And yeah, because what I think a lot of times what we're trying to do is we're trying to plant an oak tree in our life, and God says, no, put a mustard seed there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we often treat it, the other thing I've told people is we often treat prayer as this, oh, I have to carve out the X amount of time where I'm just down on my knees by my bed doing it. And I was like, yes, you can do it that way. Or you can just continually pray to God throughout the day,
mm-hmm.
right? You can see an aid car go by and you'd be like, Lord, be with that situation. Give the paramedics wisdom mm-hmm. on how to deal with that. You can see a homeless person on the street. You can go offer them food, and after you walk away, you can pray for them, or you can pray for them, or if they want you to pray for them with them, you can mm-hmm. do that too, right? Like, there are so many ways where it doesn't take a ton of time,
mm-hmm.
right? What the Lord wants is he wants us to be present and as we go through our lives.
Yeah.
Right. He wants us to be present and intentional, thinking how looking at things how he looks at things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't have to be, okay, I need to carve out an hour every morning for prayer. Mm-hmm. If you can do that, great. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying that. But I'm saying if you're like, man, I just don't feel like I have time. It's like, no, you do. Usually you might be a commute to work, like you're saying. It might be, you might have, I work in the schools, but even in the schools, I have moments of like 5 to 6 minutes mm-hmm. of just like whew, quiet and then back to work, right?
Yeah.
So I have those moments where I can actually pray for people in schools, right? I have those moments where I can actually, be present in people's lives,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a pastor that I like to quote sometimes, and he says, a lot of times we're asking God for an oak tree and he gives us an acorn,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, because if he gave you the oak tree, it would crush you.
Yeah.
Because we're all growing, like we're growing in our life with God. And I was like, so where's the first place you start? You start with an acorn,
right?
You start with a mustard seed. You plant it into a life that's following after God. You saturate it in generosity and love for the people around you. You live into the kingdom of God. You bring God with you to your workplace.
Yeah.
Right? That's a novel concept.
Absolutely.
Stop going to meet God to bring God with you.
Uh-huh.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you'll be surprised that once that takes root, what the kingdom of God does in and around you.
Yeah.
So this has been a little bit shorter one, just kind of like talking about the parables, because I wanted to, we're going through the life of Jesus, and he tells so many parables.
Yeah.
Right. And they're really good. And we're going to keep referencing them like as we're going through, but it's the kingdom of God being first and foremost in these parables. The kingdom of God is like, mm-hmm. the kingdom of God is like, mm-hmm. right. It's important. Like Jesus's message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be accessible through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
But his message is it's here, and uh-huh. let me tell you what it's like.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the gospel, that is the gospel.
Yeah.
That this kingdom life is now accessible through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're able to live into this.
Yeah. Yeah, and with the mustard seed, God's calling you to just give what you can.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It all belongs to him anyways, but just give what you can.
Yeah.
There's this... story in youth ministry where there's this guy who's like, okay, I really want to help out. And they're like, well, how much time do you have? And he's like, I got 2 minutes a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, okay, are you able to go to the town's football game? And as the players are leaving the stadium, just congratulate them. And he's like, yeah, I can do that. And that grew into like bigger, better, more mm-hmm. faithful ministry. Start small.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the challenge this week. Let's go find ways that, find something in your life that's meaningful that you can mm-hmm. invest in smallly in the kingdom of God and the people around you.
Yep.
And then don't be surprised when it blows up into a big old tree.
Yep.
Until next time.
Goodbye.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Love and Context. We hope this conversation encouraged you and gave you fresh insights into how we can better love God and others through the powerful truths of the Bible. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions, thoughts, or suggestions to loveandcontext@gmail.com. Your feedback means the world to us and helps shape future episodes. Stay connected with us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and additional resources. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Love and Context. Be sure to hit that follow button and join our growing community. Thanks for being part of the Love and Context family. Remember, love is at the heart of it all. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, embracing love, and living out your faith in today's world.